Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews. I'm going to try to be fast tonight. Everybody says I'm long-winded. I'm going to try to stay away from any rabbit trails and just stay with the Scripture. I only got 14 pages in notes here, so we should go through that pretty quick. Book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 3. If you would, say a prayer for me. Brother asked me how I was doing. I'm exhausted. Not only am I exhausted, I'm disoriented. My mind is just scattered every which way. But in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, and verses 3, in very familiar scripture, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Of course, you look in the Old Testament, you'll find out that there's a whole lot in the Old Testament about salvation. And I got to looking at this word, and here's what, if I can put a title on this, it's simply so great salvation. I'm not looking about neglecting it. I'm not looking at, at that. I'm looking at so great salvation. How great is salvation? How great is it? Our salvation is great as our God is. That's how great our salvation is. If you can imagine, if you were a raindrop, and the way I started looking at this, and I had a verse of Scripture in my mind, and I started running references. If you can imagine being a raindrop and falling out there and washing over into a ditch and then off into a branch, and then that branch that runs down into a creek, and that creek down into a river, and then that river out into the ocean, and being part of all of that. That's what this word has been like, studying it. I'm here to tell you, I cannot even begin to tell you how great our salvation is. But we're going to look at some things that I hope it would cause you to realize how great our God is. And if you take your Bibles now, turn to the book of Revelation, verses 19 and verses 1. We don't know what it costs. Salvation. Why was there a need for salvation? Why was there a need for salvation? God was just fine. Amen? He was all in all. He was everything. Amen. He was totally sufficient. Why was there a need for salvation? And when you get looking into the depths of that and what it means and how deep is this thing of salvation and what it cost. Do you know from the very moment that Adam and Eve fell, God laid his neck out there on the chopping block? You said, what? The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. But what he promised Eve, that there was going to be redemption. By their sin, they had earned and deserved destruction. But God promised them salvation. And the devil was saying, what do you mean? The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. You know that you said the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But you're telling them they're going to be saved. You're saying you're going to send a Redeemer. How great a salvation. Look at this in Revelation 19, verses 1. And after these sayings, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah. You know what that is, right? Hallelujah. What does that mean? Somebody tell me. Out loud. Out loud. Out loud. Praise the Lord. Say it with me. Praise the Lord. That's what we come to do, is it not? Worship and Praise the Lord, for He is worthy. When you think about how great His salvation is, buddy, you got something to praise the Lord about. It says right here, hallelujah. What's that next word? Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. It didn't say salvation unto men. It said salvation unto God. Salvation is coming to God. What Jesus Christ did, I want you to understand something. What Jesus Christ did on the cross, He did it for His heavenly Father. He said, well, He did it for me. Yeah, well, we got in on it. But He came to do what His Father told Him to do. And it was for the glory of God His Father, amen? It wasn't to give us glory. It says right here, glory and honor and praise and salvation is coming unto God. I'm going to tell you what. See, God laid His neck on the chopping block. See, there's some things that people don't understand about God. They think that God can do whatever He wants. God always does what's right. God has a nature. And see, God always wants what's right, so He does. He gets to do whatever He wants. But there's some things that God cannot do. You say, well, God can do anything. No, He can't. There's some things that God cannot do. And they are important. They are wonderful. They are the two most precious things about God to me. And one of them is that it is impossible for God to lie. Now, see, that makes it big when you understand it's impossible for God to lie. I can look at His Bible and I know that everything I read in there, hey, it's going to come to pass. If you call upon the name of the Lord, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Here's the problem. Most people don't want to be saved. Most people don't want nothing to do with God's salvation. A lot of people sitting in church, they like religion, but they really are not calling upon the name of the Lord. They even pray. They have prayer. You know who they're praying to? Themselves. You find that over in the Bible. The Pharisee prayed within himself. You see, hey, when you do what this Bible says, you can believe that it's going to do what the Bible said it's going to do. The Word of God is spirit. It's powerful. It's quick. You know why? Because it's God's Word. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Salvation is so big and so important. It started before God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus Christ slain from the foundation of the world. The Bible said we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. You think, hey, you think you found God? Huh? Do you think that you found God? You couldn't find God. You couldn't find God if you got all the armies in the earth to go hunting with you, because you can't do it. God found us. We were lost altogether. We didn't even know where to look. Salvation is great because our God is great. And here we see salvation unto God. Amen. Look also over in Revelation chapter 12. Well, you don't think about salvation over in the book of Revelation. You think about judgment. But praise God. There it is. Amen. Look at Revelation 12, verses 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them. Hey, accuse them before our God day and night. And you know what? He was not only up in heaven accusing God. He said, God, look at that. Look at him. He did this. You got to judge him. You got to destroy him. But I'm going to tell you, our salvation was great. Amen. The devil, he can bring up everything he wants to against you. God looks through there and said, I don't see nothing. What are you talking about? He just told a lie. He looks in the books. No lies there. He looks in the books. He said, you saw what he did. You saw that guy. You saw that old boy, the way he looked over at that woman. You saw that thought ran through his mind. God looking, can't find it. Ain't in here. It's not here. What are you talking about? Our salvation is great. I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for all sin. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care if you saved. I don't care if you lost. I don't care who you are. Christ Jesus died for all your sin. Amen. He paid the whole price. I tell you what. He took the entire punishment. Hey, don't look at that little boy. They got that little, little symbols of Jesus. Got the little cross, a little blood streaming down his head, a little bit coming off his back and down his hands. Hey, that ain't the way he suffered. God crushed him, not man. That's what man did. Man whipped him. Man took and nailed him to the cross. But I'm going to tell you something. When he had him on the cross, God Almighty judged his son. Don't you think, hey, you say that, God turned his back. He couldn't stand to look on sin. God was looking right at him, amen. He saw it all. And he judged him for that sin. And he poured his wrath out on him. Amen. You know what it costs? You want to know how great our salvation is? Look at the cost. And you'll see how great it is. Amen. And old devil, hey, he sat there and said, look at him. Look at he done this. Look at him. They done that. Look at what she did. Come on. Hey, you hear her gossiping, run her mouth, got that little tattler's wagon, carrying all that junk around the church, filling it in people's minds so they can't have no revival. God says, no, they ain't here. It's gone. I don't see it. All I see is white. Amen. Huh? All I see is white. I mean, I don't see nothing in there. I look in here. Boy, I said, every page I look, all I see is Jesus. Amen. Because he who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. I'm here to tell you, hey, our salvation is great. I saw something this past week I couldn't believe it. And I still have a hard time believing this, Brother Rick. I couldn't believe it. God said this. Matter of fact, I want you all to read it. Turn to the book of, really, I'll get it here in a minute in my mind. I'll turn there and I'll remember. What's wrong with me? Mind gone. I told you my scatterbrain tonight. Philippians chapter 2. I couldn't believe this when I read it. You ain't going to believe it either. Not if you really hear what it says. Now you can take it and try to make it say something, mean something else. But let's just read and see what it says. Amen. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Did you hear what I just read? Let me try it again. I don't think that sunk in. I'm gonna try it one more time. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Did that sunk in anybody? Has anybody heard what I read yet? God said that the mind that you are to have is the same mind that Jesus had, that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You said, you're crazy. I may be crazy. I may be. But I know what I just read. And God meant what he said. You know that you are heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The Bible says when we see him, we're going to see him like he is, because we shall be like him. Huh? You know that you were made in the image of God, and one of these days you're going to be in the express image of God? I mean, you're going to be just like Jesus Christ. That's a pretty good size salvation. I don't know what y'all think of it, man, but it's looking good to me. Huh? Boy, do you reckon he deserves some praise? Well, you reckon he deserves some thanksgiving? Why ain't we excited? Praise God, we're going to be like God, amen? Come on. He said he give a, if he didn't spare his own son, but gave him for us, he said, what do you think God's going to keep back from you? It all belongs to us, praise God, one of these days. Amen? God is going to share it all out equal with his church. Man, we ought to be praising God. We ought to be swinging off that chandelier. Come on, I'll give somebody a heave up, oh man. We ought to be excited. We're saved. We're saved. We're in the body of Christ. God Almighty said it was worth laying my, it's worth laying my neck down on the chopping block and taking that abuse from the devil, him accusing me day and night, 6,000 years, the devil's been saying, well, I tell you what, you kicked me out. You wouldn't let me have my way, and you let them go out and sin, but you said you're going to take them back. Then you sent your son to go die on the cross. Well, I don't understand. God, you ain't fair. Nobody stopped him from coming back to God and saying, I'm wrong. Nobody stopped him. He had a mind. He had a choice. I'll tell you how God felt about him. When Jesus Christ was in the garden, they come and took him. And old Judas come up there and said, wherefore art thou come, friend? Who was he possessed with? You don't think he knew who that was? That was Lucifer. God loves with an everlasting love. And God loves the host of heaven as well. He don't just love us. It's a great salvation, amen? You better watch you getting into this stuff about, I hate the devil, I hate the devil, I hate the devil. You're walking down his road now because that's what he's full of. I can find enough to hate about me without hating anything else. Great salvation. Need to move on. Let's look over here in Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Verses 9. This I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God. Hey, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, amen, and power, and might, be unto our God, ever and ever, amen. Our salvation is great, not only because it's come unto God. Our salvation is not only great because the accuser of our brethren has been cast out. Our salvation is not only great because our Lord and Savior, our big brother, hey, our husband, amen. Hey, and we're His bride, praise God. He's been enthroned in heaven. He setteth as a king as He deserves, the King of the universe. Hey, the one that made it all, praise God. Our salvation is great because Jesus Christ is enthroned, amen. We got a great salvation. Our salvation is great. Look in the book of Psalms, chapter 3. Great. Some of y'all might get happy in a little bit. I don't know. Notice this in verse 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Then that beautiful word, Salah. Think about it. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Amen. And His blessings are upon His people. Think about it. Huh? You say, well, you don't know. Things is rough. I just told you, you're going to be like God one day. Everything He's created. Do you know when Jesus Christ, hey, died and rose again? And when He told them bye, He said, I'm going to be back. But I'm going to send you another comforter. He's going to be in you. And He's going to be in me. And that's going to make us one. I'm in you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And He said, now, I'm going out of here. But my spirit's going to be in you. And you can, hey, and my spirit is going to be before you. And you can take and learn everything that I want you to know. And all that I've purchase for you in this great salvation. You can read about it. All that belongs to you. And, you know, and we sit around like, oh, God. Huh? I'm guilty. I don't know what's wrong with me sometimes. I get the mully grubs like Brother Rick said. Like that old preacher said that time, my front lip's dragging the ground like a front end loader. Amen? But we ain't got no reason to be like that. You know why we're like that? Because we're stupid. He called us, you know, we're just like them dumb sheep over in Israel. We're stupid. But if we get in this book, quit leaning to our own understanding, but get in this book and let the Word of God and read what it says and what it tells us, we'll get smart, amen? The Bible said it'll make us wiser than our teachers. This Bible teaches us, hey, God has chosen stupid people. That's right over in the book of 1 Corinthians, right? He chose us a bunch of dumb hillbilly people. Not many wise after the flesh, just a few. He picked people like us, just common folk. Amen. Oh, remember old Brother Ed used to say, he said, y'all just a bunch of common people. He said, I bet you don't even eat chitlins. He said, common people eat them by the yard. Yeah. Huh? Oh, so you're going to be coming. Go get you a bowl of chitlins this afternoon. Amen. Salvation belongeth unto God. That ought to make it great just in that. You think God's got a bunch of cheap stuff? Think about it. You think God's got a bunch of junk? You think God would want salvation if it wasn't important? Huh? It's big, amen? Oh, well, let me get back to where I was going. I'll tell you how big it is. Jesus Christ, when he told us, bye, he said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be here, but bodily I'm going up. And the Bible said he ascended up, and he went through them clouds, and he went through them stars. He went by and he saw Daddy sitting there on the throne. Said, I'll be back in a little while, Daddy. And he kept on going. He ascended up far above the heavens. Far above the heavens. That he might feel all things. Man, what is that? How big is it? See, that's part of salvation. That's part of your salvation. Jesus Christ come created a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Because the devil and sin has been in this one. And one of these days, God's going to, hey, even where God's throne is today, one of these days it's going to be shaken apart. And God's got a new heaven and a new earth, and the tabernacle of God will be with men. And I saw the third heaven coming down out of heaven. Hey, and God Almighty is going to come down and sit and sup with us. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a great salvation. It's not a little small winky-winky. It ain't. Hey, it's not this little winky-dinky little thing that I'm afraid sometimes we turn into on a doorstep, huh? Salvation is great because it belongs to God. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Very familiar scripture. Let's let it sink in. That's our problem. The Word of God, I think we're reading over it too much. We're not really letting it sink in. 4, verses 12. I'm actually going to be reading verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. You know, the builders, that religious folk. They were building a kingdom. We got a lot of people trying to build kingdoms. I'm telling you what, hey, you can build all you want to. One of these days, Jesus Christ is going to destroy it, amen? Right, he's going to set it on fire, praise God. Fire's going to come down out of heaven and burn it all up, amen? But I'm going to tell you, everything that Jesus does is going to last. Look at this. It was said that none of you builders would... Hey, but which has become the head of the corner. And neither is there salvation. Notice this. In. To. Unto. Cast out. Yeah. And now in. Yeah. Now we've got salvation in. Neither is there salvation in any other. You know how you get saved? You got to get in. You got to be in, amen? You got to be in Christ. That's where the salvation is. If you're outside of Christ, you got none. No salvation outside, because it all belongs to God, amen? And God has chosen His Christ, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and salvation is in Him. Great. How great is Jesus to you? Is He your all in all? Amen. Praise His holy name. It's great salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. I like your must. With that in mind, about must, I'd like you to turn to the book of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No, he was God come to teach. Praise God. We know no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Amen. Must. You must be saved. You must be born of God. But look at this. You say, how does this happen? How does this transaction happen? How is it made possible? Keep reading. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whither it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Don't think you're going to figure it out. Salvation is of the Lord. I've sat on doorsteps and told people about how Christ saved me, and I've seen them melt. Boy, I mean, like one of them dreamsicles on a hot July 4th, you know? They just melt. You say, how can that? And they're like, how can this be? Oh, God has come. Dave Lessie didn't have nothing to do with that. I've sat, and I give them discourse, and I've showed them when I took the Word of God and plowed deep, and they agreed with everything I said. And nothing happened. Old Southern Baptist preacher took me down to Romans Road, asked me, he said, would you like to be saved? Well, I said, well, of course, I don't want to burn in hell. No man can come to Jesus except the Father drawing. Salvation is of the Lord. But I tell you one thing, if you ever want it, you got it. If you ever want Him, you got it. God ain't paying tricks. He wants you to want Him. He wants you to see how good. The Bible said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Just get you a good taste of Him, amen? Just get in your mouth. Just wish it around and say, and if you don't like it, go your way. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He goes on, you ain't going to figure it out, but look at this. You cannot tell whither it cometh, whither it goeth, so everyone is born in the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? See, salvation is so simple, a child can understand it, but nobody can figure it out. It's too big. A mere child can say, yes, Jesus died on the cross for me, and He wants to be my Savior, and I want Him, and they get it. But it's so deep, you can't explain. You can't explain how it happens. Because it's a miracle. Huh? It's a miracle. Hey, if you see somebody, this is a little miracle. Somebody was in here, was sick with cancer, and God said, I want y'all to pray for this person, bring him up here and pray for him, and God healed him, everybody would be like, woo, woo, wow, look at what God did. Look at that big miracle that God. That was a little thing. That was just a little miracle. But when somebody gets saved, huh? When somebody gets saved, that's eternal. That's an eternal weight. That's an eternal weight of glory and honor to God. Amen. I'll tell you what. Then, Jesus went around and healed that sick. Guess what? They all died. Amen. It was little miracles. It was just little miracles. But we think that was a, wow, man, look at that. I prayed and, well, I needed some money and God supplied me $500 to pay my bills. Woo, what a great miracle. And it's good for us, ain't it? It's good to get them. But that's a little thing. That's a light thing. But salvation, that's a great miracle. Salvation, it's a great salvation. I wish we could get a hold of that. I wish I could really get a hold of that. I feel like I'd like to go a lot further with this, but you know what? I feel like I'm about done. I feel like God's going to shut it off. I wish we could really get a hold to this thing about how great God's salvation is. But I want you to look at this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. I love that verse. Jesus said, hey, look, Nicodemus, I'm here, but I'm still there. Huh? Tell that to the Jehovah's Witness. Huh? Watch him go nuts. Who's what? Now they're one, you fool. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must. I said a little bit ago, God laid his neck on the chopping block. There it is. Even so must the Son of God be lifted up. We sing songs in the churches, and some of them really annoy me, get on my nerves. They're so unbiblical. I love this song, but it's so bad. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. No, he couldn't. He'd have been a liar like us. He couldn't call no. He could have called angels, but they couldn't set him free. The devil would have liked for him to call 10,000 angels. He was down there. Jesus up there on the cross. The old devil walking around down here and said, if thou be the Son of God, come on down from that cross and we'll worship you and we'll serve you. Come on off of there. You remember that, right? Remember old Peter walked up and he said, Jesus told him, said, hey, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to be crucified. And Peter said, not so, Lord. Uh-uh. Yeah. Get thee behind me, Peter. Uh-uh. Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things of God, but those things that are of men. He couldn't call 10,000 angels. Then he'd have been a liar, just like me. But he is no liar. He put his neck on the chopping block. He made himself at our beck and call. How great is our salvation? How great is your salvation? Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And notice this. Ah, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's Jesus. Eternal life. And when you get Jesus, you get the next verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, that's what we get out of it. When we get eternal life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, then our life is without end. It's everlasting. See, if you had a beginning, that's the reason why ours is everlasting. But eternal has always been and always will be. And that verse is letting you know right there, you got to have Jesus. Amen. In the book of 1 John, I'm probably going to close out there. I got a couple more pages, but we're going to close out right there. In the book of 1 John, chapter 5. I got so much. I wanted to go over in the book of Romans. You ought to just really just get in and study this for a little while. I mean, I all I could do to contain myself and work. For over a week, these verses run through my mind. I was so excited. I had to tell somebody. I mean, really, I was looking for an opportunity. I got to tell somebody about this. Boy, this is good. Hey, man, wow. Man, we got a great salvation. Book of 1 John, chapter 5. We all love these verses. We all love that book. Chapter 5, amen. I love verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole chapter. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. There are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Now notice this. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. We'll sit around, we'll talk with one another, And I hope that if we're sitting there talking, you're not sitting there thinking, I wonder if he's telling me the truth or if he's just a big old liar, just everything he's saying. I hope you don't think that about me. I certainly don't think that about any of you. You telling me about something, everything you're saying, you know what I'm doing? I'm believing it. Because I don't think you have no reason to lie to me, right? And if we receive the witness of men, the Bible says, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God. What you're reading right here, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Now, how many of you in here would say, God, you're a liar? How many of you would do that? Notice what it says here, though. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. That's one of my favorite verses when I'm out talking with somebody about Jesus. I said, do you believe God? Do you think? Would you call God a liar? And most of them say, no, I don't believe God is a liar. I'm not going to call God a liar. God said he gave you his son. You know, he's been given, but he's got to be received. You got to want it. That's all it takes. I've heard preachers say, we can't get saved when you want to, but I tell you, that's the only time you'll ever get saved. That's the only time you'll ever get saved. Brother Wickler, when you were down there on that 10-yard line, did you want it? Before that, you didn't know what you wanted, did you? You was lost. You were blind. Huh? You were a dead dog. You were rotten it. That's all you were doing. There was no life in you. I hope there ain't nobody sitting in here dead tonight. But if there is, God has given to you eternal life. Huh? Huh? God's given it to you. All you got, all you have, is just like, I want some of this now. And all you got to do is to go. I want it. I want you, Jesus. You're great. I see you're right. 1984 in my living room. God took me out and showed me what I was. I said, God, you're right. I'm wrong. God, I don't know what. I don't know what it's going to take. I said, but Lord, if there's any way, hey, I want what you want me to have. Amen. You know what happened? I wanted him. Amen. I wanted him. I wanted what was right. I wanted God's way in my life. Have you been to that place? Have you come to that spot in your life where you wanted that? Turn back. We're going to close out here. Turn back to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Chapter 2, I'm sorry. Verse 3. It's a great salvation. And the fellow that wrote this book, which I don't know who it was, other than I know God wrote it. Who he used to pin it down, I'm not sure. But he asked this question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I know I didn't do as good a job as I wanted to. I really wish I could, you know, sometimes you get something in you, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Amen. You just wish you could just pull it out. Let people see what it is that God poured into you. How great this salvation is. And it's in everything. Do you understand? It was you showing up to church tonight. It's when you go out on the job tomorrow. His ladies, it's when you're sitting there ironing them clothes. Because you've been saved. And whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all thy might as unto the Lord. And you'll have a reward, amen? Because this is a great salvation. It's all heading towards Him. Amen. Because it belongs to Him. And we belong to Him. But how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Let's go to the Lord in prayer.